You can put up the first verse on the wall. Romans 12:2. If you're in, if you have your Bible with you, turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I talk a lot about this verse. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, with about 1,000 others, is Romans 12:2. And most of the time when I'm talking about Romans 12:2, I'm talking about the B part of the verse. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect word will. That is a phenomenal verse. Now, the B part of that verse simply means this. We're born into this world with a sin nature. We're born into this world with zero capacity for spiritual things. We're born spiritually dead. At some point in our lives, when and if we choose to become Christians, when we sense the convicting Holy Spirit telling us to believe on His Son, Jesus Christ, to receive that gift of salvation, to understand that He died for our sins, He paid a debt that we couldn't pay, we then become believers. We are then indwelt with the Holy Spirit. God's Word now becomes sensible to us. I mean, I know a lot of people, including myself before I was a believer, that I would read the Word of God and I just made no sense to me. How can this be true? What do you mean God created the earth in 6 days? What? No. What do you mean, Noah? No, that couldn't have happened that way. That's Jonah getting swallowed by the fish, that's just all fables. But then you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, one of the things He does is He makes it come alive to us. Well, what we do is we hear the Word of God. As long as it's true, as long as what we're hearing is true, we're going to talk about that later in 2 Timothy, and we choose to agree with it. We hear something, the Holy Spirit says, that's good information. We have to choose to agree with that information. What that does then is God begins the process of transforming our minds. We then get rid of some earthly thinking, and we then pick up some divine or heavenly or godly thinking. And the word transformed, I love the word transformed. What does that mean? Anybody know what that word represents, the word transformed in Romans 12:2? What else? Big word. Somebody's got to get this. Who said it? Peter, my man. Metamorphosis. It is actually the word used for a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. I mean, how cool is that? It is a whole different thing. It's not even like God says, hey, you know what? Receive my Holy Spirit, learn the Word of God, and I'm going to make your good mind or your kind of caterpillar mind a better caterpillar. He says, I'm going to completely change it. It's going to be different. Metamorphosis. It's not even the same anymore. So that's kind of the 2B of the verse. I love talking about 2B. We're going to talk about 2A today. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. I wonder why I don't go that way, because Pastor Peter goes this way too. If you want to sit on this side, this is definitely the side that's getting it. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What does that mean? I mean, it's kind of a simple question, but what does that mean? This is a question and answer time. Sarah? Trying to be like a Christian and having his thoughts go in your head. One of the Sunday school kids, we learned her well. Conforming. Conforming means to become like something. For us to conform means that we're becoming like something. Any longer. I love the part of that word says any longer, because that means that we used to be there. It doesn't say do not conform to the pattern of this world. It says, do not conform any longer. We need to realize that we're born into the pattern of the world. That's going to be our natural tendency to be part of the world. It's the fleshly nature that we've got, the sin nature that we have at salvation. And the pattern. The pattern is the way of. We all know what a pattern is. You know, when we do construction, if we're cutting rafters, we'll cut one, we'll cut another one, fit them, and then we'll make a pattern. So we cut the rafters out of the same one. So it's the same thing as. So what Paul is saying is, don't let your lives emulate the world. Now, the world has no choice in that. The world has, what's the world going to do? They don't have the Holy Spirit. Again, the world being defined as the unbelievers. They don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling them because the Holy Spirit can only indwell us at the moment of salvation. They have no interest in the Word of God, and certainly the interest that they might have in it, is not going to be a good interest. It's not going to be a strong interest, because the Holy Spirit's not even there helping them. Now, the Holy Spirit will help them understand the gospel message to become saved, but we have an option. We don't have to be conformed to the patterns of this world. But we have to choose not to be conformed to the patterns of this world. One of the things that we do, and here's a question for you. This is not even a question for you to answer, but kind of a question. Do you run everything that you think, or do you run every decision that you make through Scripture? I tell you, that is a good way to not be, that's one way to not be conformed to the pattern of this world. You think about what you're doing, you think about the decisions you're making, you think about the way you raise your kids, the way that you're a husband, the way that you're a wife, the way that you're a father. Am I running that through Scripture? Do I have enough Scripture in my mind to run that through? Another thing the Holy Spirit does is He brings to our memory the things that we've got up there. But boy, if there's not much up there, we're handcuffing them. And so do you run everything that you think of, do you run every decision that you need to make through God's Word? And I tell you what, it's pretty easy to do if you've got a lot of it in there. Thus, Bible studies, prayer breakfasts, church, 1590 AM, WAIV tapes, CDs, I can't believe I said tapes. Who's got tapes anymore? CDs, DVDs, or whatever. I tell you, in this country, you can listen online. I know you can go to the website, lhcc.info, and listen to messages for free. And so we really don't have any reason not to be taking in God's Word, other than we're kind of lazy. Too busy, maybe. Too busy is one we're going to be talking about a little bit, probably. What are some of the question for you? And you can just shout maybe one out at a time, and we'll see if you pick one of the ones that I've got in my notes. What are some ways that we look like the world? What are some of the things that we do that makes us, as believers, look like the world? Yell it out. Gossip. Who said, okay, gossip. Clothing is another one. TV. What's that? What we watch on our computers. What else? I don't think I have any of those yet. Come on, Peter. I know you're thinking of something. I can see it in your eyes. Pride and selfishness. Yes, coarse jesting. I do have that one down. So whoever said that, not that that matters that I have it down or not. I mean, how easy is it to get involved in a bad joke? Or to laugh with the people that you work with about something you shouldn't laugh. You know, I don't want to look like the heel. I don't want to look like the super spiritual guy. So we just tend to go along with it and laugh. Something to think about. You know, we don't want to look like the world. We have an option to not be transformed by the world. Come on, I got some good ones down here. Well put. She's well put. Excessive drinking and excessive eating. Excessive eating. I wonder why my wife would have said that. I'm not sure why. I do have drinking down in my notes. I was at a get-together with a bunch of Christians, maybe, and you don't know any of them except me and Kelly, so don't look around when you hear this. And it was a birthday party for somebody. There was a mixture of believers and non-believers, way, way, way more believers than non-believers. It was a surprise birthday party, and they set this little bar up, and I was just appalled by the behavior of some of the believers in that party. In fact, I even talked to some people about it afterwards to kind of set some whatever to do with it. Okay, my opinion, this is a controversial opinion in some instances, but let me finish before you draw any conclusions. I don't think the Word of God prohibits having a glass of wine. I just think that's what the Word of God allows. I also know of some people who think that you should never, as a believer, touch any alcohol. And to that I say, amen. If you want to take that position, take that position. It is so easy to look like the world. I don't think we're prohibited from it, but how can it be a bad thing to just say, you know what, I'm going to choose to step above that. I don't even need it, first of all. Something to think about, you know. Certainly, marriage, certainly dating. We look just like the world. My opinion, this is my opinion, do not let this be the Holy Spirit in your life. If I was a single man, I wouldn't even consider one of these dating online sites or whatever. I don't think we need it. God never needed it before. I think we just wait for God, wait for his timing, become the right person, and let God bring two people together when he wants to bring them together. But we have to be rushing into things. We need to find out now. I don't think we need to look like the world in that. We got rid of all the kids except for the older ones. So I'll make this PG-10 because we have some 10, 11, and 12-year-olds in here, maybe younger. But sex, dating, sex before marriage, pornography. We got to deal with this stuff. You know, men are so affected by visual things. And with computers in every room in the house, exaggeration, but it's easy. I was watching the movie Fireproof maybe a month ago, 6 weeks ago, and I seen it here at the church. Great movie. If you haven't seen it, see the movie. Great, great movie. I saw the second half of the movie where Kurt Cameron, that's what he's dealing with. He loves his wife. He's a believer. She's a believer. They're having these really bad times, and he's struggling with pornography, and he can't get a grip on it. And so if you watch the movie, you'll see all the details. But what he finally does is he takes his computer and he takes his monitor outside, puts them on a table, and takes a baseball bat to them both. The next scene, you see the neighbor looking over. Hi, Mr. Johnson, or whatever his name was. He dealt with it. And then later, and then he puts a vase of flowers where the computer was and says, I love you more. You know, you'll never regret that, guys. Now, we have... I won't even go there. Gary, what was that word he used? The little things that can destroy in Fireproof? The little... Not the little lice, but the little... What is it? No... I forget what word he used, but basically those little things. What is it? And it wasn't even foxes either. You see, you think I would have... See, it's not even in my notes to look at. But somewhere, I don't know who it was in the movie, but they talk about the little things that can just get into a Christian, no matter what it is. And they just eat their way. And they just destroy us from the inside out. Parasites, the little parasites. That's it. Thanks, Gary. I knew eventually someone would get it over there. Did you get it or did Mike get it? Shh, Mike's the man. Those little parasites that get into us, that we allow to get in because we don't say no at the beginning. We don't run it through Scripture. And before we know it, a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, our mind is polluted with junk. Do you realize that everything that enters into your senses, whether you hear it, smell it, see it, taste it or feel it or whatever it is, it goes into your mind and it affects you. We're so, what's the word I want? Again, it's not in my notes. Somebody, what word do I want now? We're so conditioned to not think about that. We're just so desensitized to it. You know, we think, I can watch that. What's the big deal? And I leave and afterwards. And no, we need to really be aware of the things that we allow to come into our minds, the things that we allow to then go into our hearts. We just need to be, we need to know that we have a choice, you know? And it's up to us. It really is, you know? I mean, put some safety valves and do something so that from a practical point of view, we don't look like we're conforming to the world. I had a lot of others. Oh my goodness, the time is flying. Let me check my notes here. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, see what God's word has to say about it. And if you don't know what God's word says about it because you don't know, then ask somebody that you know is maybe more mature than you. And develop some sort of a camaraderie in that to help you deal with whatever you, maybe you need to be dealing with. I mean, we all have that sin that so easily entangles us. Me, you. If anyone thinks he's without sin, he's deceived and the word of God's not in him. When we deal with stuff, we deal with hard stuff. So you're not alone, whoever it is and whatever it is, but be willing to deal with it. Daniel chapter 1, we're not going to turn there. Daniel got pulled into captivity at about age 16 or 17, which I love because he was a teenager. And he was one of the cream of the crop. So the king was going to put him on the diet of meat and wines and stuff like that to really kind of make him strong, healthy, blah, 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 blah. And so Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel resolved in his mind to not defile himself with the king's food. He made a decision. He drew a line in the sand and said, I am not going to defile myself. We have to make that same decision. Now, he did it before the event happened. We now are in the event. That sin that you're thinking about, that thing that so easily entangles you, that came to your mind when I said it, it's time to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what? I want to live a holy life. I mean, Daniel did some amazing things in his life. He interpreted dreams. He interpreted the writing on the wall. He got saved from the lion's den, all because he made choices to live a godly life. He resolved himself to not defile himself. It's a choice that we have to make. Now, what happens is we live in this culture, the world, the America that we live in, where we're just kind of dumbed down. We're just so stimulated with stuff that we forget that I shouldn't be stimulated with this stuff. You know, certainly not, I mean, I'm talking more the grayish areas, not necessarily the black and white areas. Mike's not you, Mike. Put the next verse on. Turn to 2 Timothy. I love these verses. And we don't have even enough time. I wonder if I can keep Pastor Peter away for another week. We'll go find out where he is and slit his tires. All in good Christian love, of course. The church, not Living Hope Christian Church, I'm not talking about Living Hope Christian Church, but the church in general is conforming to the pattern of the world. And we need to be aware of that. We need to watch the junk that we watch on TV, and I mean sermons from bad teachers that we watch on TV. Because we're building a soul structure in our mind. We learn this stuff, and it determines in our mind how we picture God. And if the stuff that we're learning isn't true, then the structure that we're building about who God is isn't as accurate as it should be. And therefore, we're not necessarily as powerful as we should be. But read these verses with me. I'm going to read 1-5. This is Paul, and Paul is in his last days. What do you talk about when you're in your last days on earth? Talk about the weather? Talk about the important things. You don't talk about the accomplishments that you had at work. Talk about things that mean a lot to you. This is what Paul is talking about. He's talking to Timothy. He says, everyone must submit himself. I didn't turn yet. There we go. This makes more sense. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Check this out. Verse 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. You ever flip through the channels of the TV. We actually have cable now. We've had it maybe a little more than a year. We never had it forever. And so we have a lot of channels now. And some of the 200-ish channels, you have a lot of the teaching channels. You have a lot of, you know, from 200 to 300 or whatever it is. Anyway, there's a lot of them where you can flip through and see these men and women teaching God's word. And like you just want to put your foot through the television because they're just teaching error. You know what's even sadder than that? Actually, maybe not. You know what's just as sad as that? You have the people in the audience that are just sucking it up, thinking it's great. Because we want our ears tickled. We want to hear the we love the prosperity gospel. You know, we want all this stuff. Yeah, if I send in 10 bucks, God's going to give me 100. Yeah, try preaching that in third world Haiti. You know? We need to be careful what we listen to, even in terms of the scripture that we hear. I mean, Paul is like so... I had this verse broken down, and I like my time's done already. But read this. Make a note of that. Read it when you get home and kind of break that verse apart. The church has been affected by the American culture. And we need to make sure that we run everything that we think as a church, as individuals, through the Word of God. And be willing to take the hard stands. Be willing to take the uncomfortable stands. Be willing to face some persecution because you're standing for what God's Word says. And it's going to cost you. You know, as I was looking at these verses in 2 Timothy, I started reading around the verses to get the context even more. And I had to read the whole book of 2 Timothy, a great book on end times and exactly what we're talking about. I mean, we're so fitting into the world. Watch the teaching you listen to. Be a Berean. Test all the spirits. Well, my time is done. I have a lot more to say. I think I'll just close in prayer, and we'll let Bob come up in a minute. Father, I just feel like I didn't get to finish and complete my thoughts. I just pray that the things that were spoken, the things that came from my heart, would be what we needed to hear. I pray that we would take this seriously, that you would show us as individuals where those areas are. No more time for games. We need to resolve ourselves to be the men and women of God that you want us to be. Go cross-culture. Not be politically correct, but to stand firm on your word. Father, fill in the gaps as only you can through the power of your Holy Spirit. Just be with Bob as he shares in a few minutes what you've laid on his heart for communion. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So,